And I apologize if there's several breaks. I often have to double check things because there's always little minefields to, or mines in the field to try to avoid when I come in. So I apologize for the jerkiness of these broadcasts. Martial artist Kate emphasizes, as she teaches the movements of Tai Chi, that the arms are the flags of our center, our core, the lower belly area between the hip bones, from which our power and movement originate, as the outer from the inner derives its magnitude. This is earth-sourced truth, by which I mean that we can't ignore it and reacquire our earth-given freedom, whether as individuals or nations. Today and ongoing, we face, in order to free ourselves from the hidden state, the thieves in the temple. We cannot direct our arms. Recall our good three suggested or asked, can the well-organized arms of progressive movements in Western Europe recompose themselves into agencies of world historical transformation? Well, we cannot direct our arms unless we have a strong core. And though I'm encouraging us to support artists, I'm encouraging us simultaneously to take this responsibility on of being artists ourselves, which means to recognize that this is a system that, in fact, views us as its property. And we're reading from Pierre-Joseph Proudhon's What is Property? In order to understand that that concept, he's right, is right at the core of our enslavement, of our weakness as human beings. And to get our strength back, we have to refuse that designation, that notion, the evil abuses of it, as Proudhon would argue. And that includes turning us into objects, obviously. I've been pondering the degree to which artists, particularly those who don't have levers like work, power could use against them. Although survival issues constrain us all, we are all at risk. But artists, because they don't see any division within them, servant of the state and human, and we were given a really good example of that in the Democracy Now! Excerpt that played right before the show, a tribute to Prince, in which one of the guests commented that, you know, he wrote slave. I mean, he as all of us, when we have time to actually see that to be who we are gets us in the crosshairs, recognizes to our surprise that in fact we are viewed as the property of the state. Every one of us within under the system of class, which is almost the whole planet at this point. So those who don't have that designation, servant of the state and human, but say instead, no, I am simply a human being. Who sees that word artist as self-possession, owning themselves, and possess the clarity that they are a human being first, last, and always. That it matters that we consciously claim that designation. It certainly does to power. If we have no choice but to advance that truth without qualifiers of any kind, we will find ourselves targeted. So, in our upcoming shows, we turn our eyes and hearts to those who possess that and do that and call them artists, acknowledging that power is a jealous and paranoid tribe of restless seekers of proof of their own superiority, and that those who refuse to confirm that lie by taking the money and pretending that the system is a fit tomb for the soul The self-hating tribe of Plato is determined to destroy. In a previous show, when I said that the song Baby I'm a Star was quite enough to get Prince targeted, I said it without stopping to let that, what it fully meant, sink in. That the pain, the buzzing head, the electrical paralysis. My skull feels numb most of the time these days. The hitting is continuous. The swollenness. And the off-the-charts harassment in ways that cannot be proven. They don't care where they kick, just as long as they hurt you. I mean, I so vibe with the lyrics of that song. And I don't know if those who are not going through this can quite appreciate how perfectly that song expresses what it feels like to receive that treatment. The hiddenness of power attacking you with hidden folks and with hidden weapons, which has been my portion, I didn't stop to think, was also his, multiplied by a factor of 10 at least, and that of many others who cannot talk openly about it, because doing so would further isolate them, particularly if you have his celebrity, obviously. And I didn't think about that. I knew he was, and that I can't really fully explain why, you know. I guess I just took his bigness and his, you know, he's in a different realm. I didn't think, and that's true, unfortunately, often with me. I knew he was being targeted. Because targeting me, given my particular circumstances, allowed me to see them and see, therefore, their preoccupations, their strategy, their MO. Targeting me with false folk and hidden weaponry. The realization of what was happening only gradually came to my awareness over the course of the past 7 years. Today is an anniversary for me. I published Waking Up, Freeing Ourselves from Work in 2009. On this day, May 1st of that year, and posted it as HTML pages on the Nascence to End Work website, and later made it into a PDF when I got an email. Back then, I actually got emails from someone who said, why don't you post it as a PDF? It hadn't even occurred to me. See, we gotta combine our thinking, and then this will be as... George Eliot might say, as if it were a comet year, things will just take off. Truly, we are at that moment. We just have to all push, get us over this hump of enormous resistance from power. But once we're over it, we're over it. We are on and rolling. Roll with me, baby. It's time. It's way past. So if they were doing this to me, I mean, this was absolutely revelatory that a no-threat non-entity like myself could receive that much unwelcome attention from the shadow global state that is on the down low, clandestine, meant that every semi-public and public person, at least conservatively, who by their very being and messages demonstrated non-subservience to the state, to power, or even just non-congruence with the image in the power guys' minds of the future they were sculpting, who presented, therefore, to young people potentially notions power doesn't want them to have, like caring about your brothers and sisters, like empathy, like we are one nation of global beings, was without doubt being targeted. This most deaf meant Prince. It meant a lot of people. It means a lot of people. Their attention to me revealed the degree to which they are determined to construct all the thoughts in all of our children's heads, so thereby to interrupt thought's natural process of growth and prevent any of us from ever recovering our true power, and therefore from ever wanting to recover our authentic freedom. And this was confirmed by all the ancestors I read who likewise struggled with this question. The global state statesmen hate those who know they shine, for they cannot be controlled. Those whose lives are not about the grim trudging after perfection, quote unquote, the hateful imposition of joylessness and coercion as the terms for our existence. They hate those who are not about this because they see perfection when they look in the mirror or sit quietly with the earth and marvel at the habits of our plant and animal brothers and sisters. The power guys hate those who know they are sufficient as is, who need no augmentation. Everybody say nothing comes too easy, but when you got it, baby, nothing comes too hard. I love that line. I really do. I just can't help but smile when I hear him sing that song. Because he so got it right. He is so up there, you know. These guys hate those who manifest the energy of love. I don't think we've sufficiently appreciated the degree to which love itself is in their crosshairs, despite that Hitler quote that youth must be made violent, despite that quote which makes this clear, and the fact that this stance is consistent with all totalitarian ideology, including that of Plato, which the power guys took up in the aftermath of the French Revolution, i.e., the global statesmen hate those who have what they lost as infants. It's difficult for us to understand this, and likely we could not fully grasp it without Alice. Prince was a poet as well as a musician. He knew the language of metaphor and spoke to us in that tongue. I wish I'd thought more about what he was going through and at least had thanked him when I had the chance. I'm afraid, though I had been given information sufficient to know better, I took his being there for granted. Today and in upcoming shows, we'll be exploring his message in Thieves in the Temple, a song I'd never heard or heard of until I saw the title in a list of songs that was playing when I got to the station last Sunday. I would not have you think I could hear that song and not speak to its content before this. I've posted it to the blog page along with the current show draft PDF. I hope you'll get a chance to listen to it.